Hello and welcome to our reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. Before we actually go on to look at our reflection, I just want to take a moment to recognise and acknowledge the sad passing of our Queen, and just take a few moments to be still and silent and pray for the royal family and all those who are affected. So let's just be still for a moment. God of comfort, I pray that you would be with all those who are mourning the loss of our Queen. May you be with the royal family at this time, as they grieve the loss of someone so significant in their lives. Lord, I also pray for the whole nation, for even the world, as this loss is being felt by so many people. Lord, we thank you for her diligent service to the country, but most importantly, Lord, to you. And Lord, we thank you that she is now at peace. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. So last week we began our series on Colossians, and we looked at the beginning of the prayer that Paul prayed over the Colossians. Paul uses his prayer to remind the Colossians of some important teachings. So last week we were looking at how Paul used the prayer to remind the Colossians of the good news that we receive when we accept Jesus. And this week we're looking at the way that we're taught to have the knowledge and wisdom that we receive from Christ. This concept of wisdom was an important one for the Colossians, as culturally, wisdom was sought and hoarded, enviously guarded, and lauded over others as a way of demonstrating one's dominance over another. In Judaism, wisdom and knowledge of God was found exclusively in the law. And thus Gentiles and pagans were excluded from accessing this knowledge at all. And even ordinary Jews were considered to have lesser or inferior knowledge and wisdom because they were not scholarly enough to study and understand the scriptures like the religious elite. In a similar vein, knowledge and wisdom in Greco-Roman society and religion was passed through the gods, through oracles or other forms of divination, or it was hoarded among so-called mystery cults. Thus, again, wisdom was restricted to specific people and was treasured jealously. The church in Colossae was surrounded by these cultures and struggled to remain faithful to what they had been taught. Epaphras had brought Paul a report about the Colossians that included this mention about the struggles they were having with regard to knowing what wisdom they should follow. And so this is why Paul writes this letter, to remind the Colossians what true wisdom is, where it comes from, and how this wisdom should impact their lives. So we're going to see what Paul had to say to the Colossians about wisdom in these verses from Colossians 1:9-14. We'll be seeing how these words still speak into our lives in the present day. We may not have ancient mystery cults or need to seek information from oracles, but we are still faced with wisdom from the world that tries to draw us away from the true knowledge and wisdom in Christ. So firstly, wisdom comes freely from God to all. Paul reminds the Colossians that knowledge and wisdom comes graciously and freely from God. Epaphras had told Paul about the false teachers, more on that later, who were trying to undermine the gospel message by suggesting that the believers needed Jesus plus. That Jesus wasn't enough for the Colossians. They needed added secret wisdom that was only available to select people. Paul wrote to remind the Colossians that wisdom was not some kind of secret law reserved only for the elite, nor was knowledge some kind of hidden key that unlocked the mysteries of the universe, or a key to the inner person. Instead, Paul reminds the Colossians that wisdom comes solely from God, and he does not give sparingly or stingily. He pours his wisdom on his children. Paul says, "We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives." Notice that Paul doesn't pray that the Colossians gain some knowledge through the small amounts of wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. No, Paul speaks about the Colossians being filled with all the wisdom and understanding. This suggests that God is generously pouring out his wisdom and understanding. He is not being miserly with it. God wants his children to have wisdom and understanding. And it's also important to note that Paul speaks with certainty about the fact that the Spirit is giving the Colossians this wisdom and understanding. There is no hesitation, no uncertainty about Paul's language. He just states it as a fact. The Spirit gives wisdom and understanding. Paul's certainty about the Spirit giving wisdom and understanding leads us to acknowledge that this wisdom and knowledge was open to all. Anyone could come to believe in Jesus and receive knowledge, wisdom, and understanding from the Spirit. The Spirit does not limit or restrict who he comes to. He does not hold himself back from speaking to even little children. He does not discriminate between who can hear from him. All that is needed for the Spirit to come is for someone to accept Christ. This teaching was important for the Colossians. If they understood that creation and God's plan for the redemption of the cosmos revolves solely around Christ, they would not be confused by the challenges thrown at them by opponents. And neither would they be duped by engaging ideas that have the appearance of wisdom. It is important for us too, as we are also bombarded by different theories, wisdoms, ideologies, whatever it might be, all that try to get us to believe something that takes us away from the truth that we find in Christ. Do we know and truly accept that wisdom is only found in God, and that he freely gives it to all who seek him? What worldly wisdom do we find ourselves tempted by or confused by? Wisdom comes from God freely to all. Secondly, growing in wisdom and knowledge. Paul is clear that the Spirit gives wisdom to all from the moment that people accept Christ as Lord. But Paul also explains that we need to continue to grow in wisdom and knowledge. He prays for the Colossians to continue growing in the knowledge of God. The Spirit does not just give us a bit of knowledge and wisdom and then leave us to it. Instead, he continually provides us with more and more knowledge and wisdom as we grow in our faith. However, this does require us to open our hearts to him and allow God to teach us. We need to commit ourselves to God and ask him to fill us with his knowledge. We need to be humble and allow God to feed us with his words of knowledge and wisdom. Think of it like this. Children learn the skills they need to grow as adults slowly. For example, a young child begins to learn how to speak and learns the basic words to communicate their needs and desires. If the child stopped at that point and didn't learn anything further, they would be able to ask for the things they need, but they wouldn't be able to communicate other things and join in life in other ways. They'd never be able to logically argue a point. They wouldn't be able to communicate about deep topics or feelings. They would be limited in their ability to communicate with those around them. Continued learning and development for a child allows them to grow, function, and engage more in society. In a similar way, we are like children when we first come to faith. The Spirit provides us with the wisdom and knowledge we need for our basic needs as we understand and accept the amazing love of Jesus. But we're not left in this basic understanding. The Spirit helps us to grow in our understanding, knowledge, and wisdom. As we seek to know more about God, the Holy Spirit imparts more and more, guiding us to the things He knows that we need. But just like a child has to put in effort to learn new skills and abilities, so too do we. This effort is to be directed towards committing ourselves to God, spending time with Him and allowing Him to speak to us, to shape and mould us, to teach and transform us. How much time do we allow God to work within us? When we come to God, do we come with a list of things that we want to tell Him? Or do we sit and listen to what He has to tell us? How are you growing in wisdom and knowledge as the Holy Spirit helps your faith to develop? Thirdly, bearing fruit. The wisdom and knowledge that God gives us is not just to be used for our own benefit or for the sake of having knowledge. We are called to use the wisdom and knowledge God gives us so that, as Paul says, you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work. One theological commentator states, knowledge of God's will always has ethical implications because it requires us to bring our daily conduct and our thinking into line with it. This may be why so many people do not want to receive Jesus and gain the knowledge and wisdom of God's will, because they don't want to have to submit to God's plans. They don't want to have to follow what God is guiding us to. They want instead to keep following their own ideas. It's also probably why so many people are swayed by the so-called wisdom that the world offers, because these are things that seem more agreeable, easier to follow, and it seems to provide some kind of more sophisticated wisdom. But of course, this wisdom is empty and full of deception and lies. In John 8, verse 44, we're told that Satan is the father of lies, and so we need to be wise to the wiles, devices, schemes, strategies, and enterprises of our enemy. Every false ideology and idol teaching gives only false promises that lead to destruction and ruin. The wisdom that we find in the world does not seek our benefit or well-being. It is there to distract us and bamboozle us into reorientating our lives away from the truth of the gospel. Only recognizing, accepting, and following the knowledge and wisdom given by the Spirit will lead us to true truth and beauty. When we receive knowledge of God's will and wisdom about how to live by it, we have to then make a conscious choice to say, yes, I will live following God's path. This is something we have to consciously choose each day. By accepting the wisdom given to by the Spirit and choosing to live according to the will of God, we find our lives bearing fruit for Christ and the kingdom of God. We begin to reflect the glory of God more and more in our daily lives with the fruit of the Spirit: joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control becoming more evident in our lives. How much do we truly long to reflect God's glory in all we do and say? How much do we desire to display the fruit of the Spirit at every moment in our lives? How might God be speaking to you and asking you to grow and bear fruit in Him? The fourth and final point is talking about endurance. Having the knowledge and wisdom provided by the Spirit enables us to endure all things, not as if with gritted teeth, but joyfully. Paul says, "We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you might live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light." In that rather long sentence, Paul explains that the knowledge and wisdom that we are given by the Spirit allows us not only to live a life pleasing to the Lord, but also that we gain strength from the glorious might of God. This allows us to have great endurance and patience, no matter what trials and challenges life throws at us. I know that over the last few years, I have certainly had to rely on the strength of God to keep me going through the difficult times we've had. But I love the fact that this wisdom and knowledge of God doesn't just allow us to get through the bad situations by the skin of our teeth. No, we will be giving joyful thanks to the Father. But why does the wisdom and knowledge of God allow us to have great endurance, patience, and joyfulness? Paul's next words give us some insight into why. He says, firstly, that we have been qualified to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. That certainly sounds like something to be joyfully celebrating about. In these words, Paul reminds us that the things in this life are temporary and fleeting, but God has welcomed us into an eternal inheritance in the kingdom of light. Paul reminds the Colossians that we have already been qualified for this inheritance. There is nothing more we need to know, learn, or do. Jesus has done it all. For the Colossians who kept being told that they needed Jesus and other wisdom or knowledge, Paul states clearly they have already been given all they need because Jesus is all they need. Do we sometimes fool ourselves that we need to have more than Jesus to be acceptable to God? Maybe there are times that we feel completely hopeless and despairing, and we ask ourselves, how can God forgive me, accept me, love me, when I can't even do that for myself? Or perhaps we're at the other end of the scale and we want to show that we are better than others, and we want God to consider us to be super Christians by working hard to follow all the rules. But no matter what, there is nothing we can do to make God love us more or less. And because of that great love for us, He has given us everything we need so that we can be restored as His children and receive His inheritance. Secondly, Paul carries on to explain just what God has done to give us that inheritance. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We have been rescued from the dominion of darkness. Have you ever been in a situation where you've had to be rescued in one way or another? I think unsurprisingly to anyone who knows me, I have been in lots of situations where I've needed to be rescued. There's one time in particular that I am thinking of where I had gone to the library for the very first time on my own. I cycled my bike from school to the library, and then I was meant to cycle back home. I think possibly last week I mentioned that I have a great fear of getting lost. I also have a terrible sense of direction. So needless to say, I got lost. And because of my fear of getting lost, I began to cry because I was in such a hopeless situation. A lady at the bus stop saw my state and, without being asked to, she stepped in to help and she pointed me in the right direction. I remember the utter sense of relief and joy I felt at knowing I was rescued and could get back home. We have been rescued and given a way back home. Jesus saw our state of despair and hopelessness, and even though we had got ourselves into our own mess, he stepped into the chaos and took on the burden of our wrongdoings for himself. He freed us from the chains that were binding us and allowed himself to be sentenced to death for our crimes. How great should our sense of relief and joy be at knowing that we have been rescued from the biggest mess and we've been given the greatest thing, restoration with God. This is the wisdom we receive from God. Wisdom freely given to all people. Wisdom that keeps growing in us. Wisdom that bears fruit. And wisdom that frees us from the snares of Satan. Do you want to receive this wisdom continually and allow it to bear fruit in your life? Give yourself again to Christ and allow the Spirit to fill you afresh.